Well, hello and welcome to Three Wide No Cover. I'm your host, not Michael Wall. I am Nathan Brown, stepping in for Michael Wall. And to my left, it's almost like two and a half men here. You got Nathan Brown, Julian Valance, and Simon Marshall being obviously the little fat kid who was in Two and a Half Men. I can't say that anymore, actually. But anyway, let's continue on. Now, massive weekend of racing. I can't believe Michael Wall's not here. Did you know recently he has been elevated to the stature of myself and you, Simon Marshall? He now has brand ambassador next to his name on his email chain. He is a brand ambassador. Can you believe what's going on around this place?
Well, Nathan, good morning and hello to you. Julesy, you look fantastic as always. Great to have you in now, Brownie, but your late call up, M. Wall, I believe he's on a junket to the Super Bowl. Come on, man.
They're off to the Super Bowl. This is one of the great junkets of all time. And he's not at work today because he's preparing for the Super Bowl. That was his words to me. I've got to prepare for the Super Bowl. So I've got to prepare to get on a plane, drink a hell of a lot of whatever I'm going to drink, and prepare for the Super Bowl.
Well, we've had an upgrade with yourself. I'm not sure what you're growing on your face there. Did anybody offer you any money or pillows or anything on the street as you were walking up?
My wife likes this beard. It's the first time I've ever grown a beard, and I think it looks quite manly as well.
And dare I say, there's some wonderful people out there around Melbourne that are unfortunate. But, Brownie, you look fantastic. Julesy, what about a track report from you to, at Caulfield, mate? The heat, Mornington called off on Friday, and thanks, Tommy, for walking in. That's beautiful. Tommy, you wanted to come in on this as well.
Yeah, sure.
Mornington was called off. Racing tonight at Moonee Valley as we record this wonderful three-wide no-cover podcast. Track at Caulfield tomorrow. What's going on? There's winds, there's everything. Heat?
Yeah, just firstly, I've always been told if you've got nothing nice to say, you don't say anything. So in regards to Wally, I'm completely silent. And going with that theme, the get-up of Brownie is just, again, silence. But anyway, we move on. Caulfield, look, very hot in Melbourne. We know that.
Oh, thanks.
It's scorching. It's scorching. Rail out 3 metres. Now, in the last week, Victorian participants would know we've really been watering the tracks, the curators, and what we think would be dry decks actually have become very, very wet decks, you know, running on sort of a slow 6 and even in some cases slow 7 sort of track. This possibly could happen at Caulfield, but there's a little bit of a caveat with that. Today is extremely windy in Melbourne. Now, the track curators have always told me when it is really windy, it's hard to actually get water on because it just blows absolutely everywhere. So 50 Ks, I think, expected today, the northerlies, and then it turns into a southerly. So I don't know when Jason Kerr can get the water on the track. If he doesn't, Caulfield will play really, really well. Out 3 metres, we always default Caulfield dry track, out 3 metres on speed.
Okay, that's Caulfield. Fantastic. Really good and exciting to have the two-year-olds warming up and ripping into a Blue Diamond Stakes. And with that, we start with the previews. Race 4, it's the Colts, Blue Diamond preview. Jules, it's a 1,000-metre gallop. Can you just enlighten the punters out there? History would suggest not too many Blue Diamond winners come out of this race card, being a 1,000-metre dash for cash. Is that going to be the case on Saturday, and your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's an interesting, it's a good point. I'm just looking at the Colts and Galleons. Last 5 winners, Longleaf, Property, Cohesion, Burnstone, Mohave, well, there's no Blue Diamond winner there. Don't even know if they've run 1-2, to be honest. So, look, it's an interesting one because 1,000 metres, usually you get those really fast types, especially around Caulfield, on speed, fast, and then you're looking for more the Diamond, you're looking for more the 1,200-metre horses that probably aren't really wound up. And you'll see that probably on Saturday, especially in race 4, SD. You got those two Godolphin horses that came out of that race at Flemington where Microphone and Auxon. For me, Auxon looks the better horse over time. I think it'll be a sensational three-year-old. I think it'll be better over 1,400 metres and beyond, but this is over 1,000 and Microphone probably gets the advantage because it's got good speed. It was a good win at Flemington. I liked both horses. A Mark Microphone favourite. But look, there's some interesting types down the bottom that haven't raced.
Okay. All right. Let's have a look at the market just before we get into your thoughts and selections. This is race four, folks, the Blue Diamond preview for colts. Microphone number one is $3.80 to $4. Allberg was fantastic over six furlongs on Cox Plate Day is 12. This is number two into $11. Auxon number three, $5 and $5.50 now from its opening quote. And we'll just talk about the single figure horses here. Number nine, Hulk. Interesting runner. Will he run at Moonee Valley tonight? So just pen this, folks. We're recording on a Friday morning, three wide, no cover. $5 into $4.60, the first starter. And I know he's heavily backed at Moonee Valley. So just stay tuned with number nine, Hulk, for Saturday.
Yeah, on that, can confirm that he's running at Moonee Valley. So
okay,
won't be running at Caulfield. And he's, yeah, as you said, SD, really well supported at Moonee Valley.
Well, we'll take him out of Saturday's Blue Diamond preview for the Colts, number nine, Hulk. He's running Friday night and heavily back too. I Am Immortal, number 10, $6.50 to $4.80 is the best backed runner, Julesy and Brownie, for the two-year-olds Colts division. And Tempo down the bottom, $8 to $8.50, out half a point. I'm Immortal, the best backed runner. Julesy, your thoughts for the Colts?
Yeah, look, just with I'm Immortal, it's probably been the one that's been really well backed, as you mentioned, SD, off a really good trial at Pakenham. It looked a really nice horse, and it's been really well supported, put up about $6. Well, there's none of that anymore off the trial. And look, 1,000 metres is obviously going to suit. Really tricky race to have a really strong opinion on when you've got horses that have raced and went well, and then you've got these unraced horses that have got pretty good pedigrees. They're being well supported. It's really tricky. Look,
if a punter wants to have a punt, Jules, and there's a horse there that hasn't raced before, but you've seen Microphone out there, Microphone has raced, what way do you lean?
I always lean to the raced horses because I've seen them. And the reason I do that is you can look very, very good in trials, but until you get put under that race pressure where you have to come off the bit, you've got the pressure there, it's hard to know what's under the bonnet, under that pressure kind of situation. So I always lean to the raced horses. But there's always a good guide with that brand. It's a good question because you want to see those horses that are unraced. If that support can continue all the way up to the race, you know the horse is obviously going really, really well. You usually see the support sometimes for horses that trial well Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, and then it dries up and it drifts out as you get closer to the race. But if that support can continue right up to the race, then look, if you like those horses off the trials, you can be quite confident that it's going to run really well on the day for you. The two best horses for me coming out of it is probably Microphone and Auxon, both Godolphin. I think I want to take Auxon if I had to take one home because I think it's going to be a super three-year-old and better over 1,200. But probably on Saturday, I think Microphone's the one.
Okay, Julesy. So my thoughts for race four at Caulfield is I like Microphone. I think he's one of those two-year-olds that's up, running, very professional. My only knock on Auxon was his last 40 metres. He knocked up. He took the sit on Microphone, but his last 40, he just knocked up like a horse that he didn't run the 1,000 out as well as I wanted him to. I know he's drawn better than Microphone, but I think he hit the nail right on the head in terms of he's going to look like he's a better three-year-old type because he's a really big boy, and he took the sit on Microphone. You thought he was going to hunt him down until that last 40, and he just knocked up Microphone, ended up getting away from him and ended up beating Brazen, who we'll talk about in the fillies division. So Microphone looks as though he's that 1,000-metre specialist, and he's very professional. He's got unbelievable gate speed from 13. I'm not too worried about that because if he pings the lids, you've just got that one run into the bend, and that's okay. So Microphone, the very professional two-year-old on top winner at Flemington last start for mine. Exeter, I liked his trial, number seven at Cranbourne. He was under a hold, and I just thought if he can get some cover early from gate nine, which Lindsay Park and Damien Oliver to ride, will want to ride this horse watching his trial. I think he could be one that could be bursting out late and charging home. And I'm Immortal, the best back runner. Loved his trial. He looks like a real 1,000-metre specialist. He sweated up a bit like yourself, Brownie, and the occasion got to him a little bit, but he's going to be fast out of the gates. Just have a look at him on the day in the mounting yard to see if he handles race day, because he sweated up badly at Pakenham when he trialled, but he's drawn six. Malham's absolutely on fire, and Anthony Friedman to train. So Microphone on top. Exeter as one I really want to keep my eye on, and I'm just happy not to have Auxon at the moment, based on what Julesy said. He looks like more of a three-year-old type. And his last 40 at Flemington, when you watch the replay again, he was just knocking up a little. That's race four. Brandy, race five, can you tell us the market for the fillies, please?
Certainly can, SD, and for what it's worth, I'm on Microphone as well. Catch Me Up the Top, number one, is resuming for Snowden. $3.50 out to $3.90. Jetstar's probably been the best back, $9.50 on the opening into $5.50 now. Anaheed resuming $6.50 into $4.80. Pretty Brazen, who came second to Microphone, $9 into $8, and then down to number 14, Shih Tzu, $10 into $9.50. They are all the ones under $10.
I'll tell you what, he's got panels on Wally.
Yeah,
he's got panels on Wally.
That was the best read of the totes and the markets, the odds anyway that we've ever had.
Where do we go? Good race. Very good race.
This is better than the Colts division in terms of depth, isn't it?
Yes, 100% it is. Agree entirely with that.
Did any of these fillies over the last 5 years go on and win a blue diamond in your history book?
Well, looking at this, Lady Horse Owner, Limestone, Sword of Light, Pasadena Girl, Clifton Red, there is no blue diamond winners in that. Was that the same bloke that came in before? Because if it is, fair dinkum. Rats would understand things
we are on
quicker than that. We are, but anyway.
Was it Stevie?
Shout out to Stevie.
Anyway.
He's very good at walking in when we're doing this sort of thing.
Very improved his table tennis game too.
He did. Played a lot of table tennis.
Good play.
Back to race five.
Race five, yes, we digress. Good race. You mentioned it just with race four, SD, and I missed it, but it's a good point. The 1,000 metres at Caulfield, don't be worried about wide barriers at all. Don't be worried. It's only just that one turn. They just zip around there. There's no issue if you're wide. If you get your horse into a rhythm, as SD talked about, they'll flow for you. There's no problems. Caulfield, 1,000 metres, being drawn wide. Don't be worried about that, punters. When you see in your form guide, you see the wide gate. Don't be worried about that at all. Catch Me and Anaheed, both from the same camp, both probably pretty similar sort of profiles. Both went really good at Randwick for wins. One was on a soft track with Anaheed. Catch Me was on the dry ground. And then they both went to Pakenham and won trials recently, and they both looked really good. I had Anaheed just slightly ahead of Catch Me, but, look, they're both really nice horses.
So when you say that, how can you have Anaheed on top of Catch Me when she won on a heavy track?
Yes, look, went on a soft track. At the end of the day, I'm not suggesting she's a wet tracker. I don't think I'll go out and say she's a wet tracker. I think she can be very versatile and go on both. She won that trial on dry ground, so she maybe just is versatile enough to get through it. On our figures, that race that she ran was just a little bit better than the Catch Me one, so I've got her slightly ahead. But okay. Again,
sweet.
Not something you can jump into with these horses when they're resuming. Worth noting, really good support for Shih Tzu, the 14, since we put up markets, $12 and sort of been knocked in, something funny. And Craig Williams to ride, really important, was really soft in the trial at Pakenham. They didn't knock it about at all. Wouldn't be surprised to see it run a very, very big race. Worth noting, Mick Kent doesn't usually have his two-year-olds up and running.
Did you pronounce the 14?
Shih Tzu.
Okay.
I could be
Shih Tzu.
Your
pronouncement.
Shih Tzu. Well, it's got a T in there.
It does. Usually the T.
What's a silent T, is it?
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes. So I don't know. But Mick Kent usually doesn't get his two-year-olds up and running, so I think that's a good positive sign that he's got this going. Good race. Can't really tip you into anything other than Catch Me, Anaheed going well. Jetstar is very, very quick. Can she hold on?
What about Pretty Brazen came second to Microphone? Pretty big odds.
Yeah, no, look, definitely in the mix as well. Was really good up on the inside with Microphone, just knocking it off late. And it was good enough and drawn a perfect gate for around Caulfield. So no knock on it at all either. These are just tough races. They're great races, probably not so much to bet into, but to be able to watch – for the Blue Diamond Prelude and then for the Blue Diamond Stakes. Great watches, races to watch even for the futures.
Okay, race five, we're talking about the fillies division of the Blue Diamond Preview, and Pretty Brazen just on her brownie. She was terrific against the boys. She'll be happy to race against the girls.
Good odds at $8.
Here.
And, each way.
Yep, and Luke Curry, he's got options from gate six. He doesn't have to lead. What he did at Flemington was jump, used her brilliance early and got her to the running rail, and she was able to kick clear by herself and really fight on well. And it wasn't just, you know, it was just that last 10 strides that Microphone was able to pick her up out wide, maybe in the better part of the track, down the middle of the track, where they like to run down the straight at Flemington. So she is the target that they have to beat, because I'll bet my bottom dollar that Luke Curry's going to take a sit in this race and just teach her to try and run 6 furlongs with the Blue Diamond in the back of his mind. Pretty Brazen, pretty smart. Catch Me, she was very good when she worked home. She got back in the gym crack when she raced in Sydney on debut and won. She was 3 deep cover and just boom down the outside. Strong 14 here, be looking for that similar run. 3 deep cover, stay out of trouble. 15 weeks in between. Lovely trial. She's a big, strong girl. Karen McAvoy to ride for Team Snowden. Won the race plenty of time. They're definite chances. Jetta Star, she reminds me of this 1,000-metre boom two-year-old style. Her jump and run at Flemington, and she over-raced from the 8 to the 6, even to the 400. She was over-racing and travelling. And then when Bowditch slid the reins through her hand, she kicked and kicked strong, and she was plunged that day. Really good betting move, and she's the best-backed runner, Jetta Star. So from gate 12, once again, she pings the lids like she did at Flemington and can get across. She'll be the one they have to run down. Pretty Brazen will take the sit on her. She'll look the winner at some stage as well, and I'll be looking forward to Catch Me peeling off them, hunting Anahita, as Julesy mentioned. Biscara's drawn one. Her back to the 1,000 metres, nice and fresh, really, really good. But I went and watched her trial, and Andrassy Avenue from the Lindsay Park team trialled up an absolute treat. If there's a blowout in this, it might be Andrassy Avenue. Drawn 16, drawn outside Catch Me, so hopefully they can follow her. She trialled better than Biscara and was just absolutely trucking. So she's the blowout. I'm going to have Pretty Brazen on top the five, and the blowout for me, number six, Andrassy Avenue. Just off her trial, big girl, strong type. Hayes likes to just sit back, educate their horses over this 1,000. Her goal will be the 6 furlong. She looks a lovely type in saying that. So there you go. There's the race 4 and race 5 at Caulfield, the Colts and the Fillies division of the Blue Diamond Preview. Browning, race 9, the listed race at Caulfield, we're going to have a look at next. And it's a really interesting race here with some top weights, the spread of weights. Tell us what's under double figures figure odds, mate.
There are a lot of horses under double figure odds here. The answer, my friend, 6 into $6.50.
Six out to $6.50.
Oh, sorry, I didn't realise we were being like that. Like Arbit Sam is $6.50 into $6. Then we move. Sorry?
Julesy will ping you.
And then we move down to Manalo Blahnik, $4.80 to $4.60. Bring Me Rose hasn't really moved off the $12 quote. Holbein is $8. Mr. Moneybag, $6.50 out to $7. They are the main chances in this race. Do you like anything else over the bigger odds?
Just prior to that, race 5, did you have an opinion at all in the two-year-old?
Did I have an opinion on race 5? Not really. I didn't mind Pretty Brazen. I'm going to have Pretty Brazen each way. There's no standout winner in this one, but I think it's form behind Microphone, and I'm tipping Microphone in the race beforehand, so that might just salute that one, hopefully.
Julesy, is this a race 9 that we're talking about now, where we go to the speed chart and really study this race, because we've got a bit of speed in it?
We sure do. Speed map, I think, really important with this race. Good speed engage. So I think the answer, my friend, will go forward, but as will Chamois Rodenar beats him. But those horses, I think, probably don't have the speed. If the answer, my friend, really wants to lead, we've seen him when he wants to go, he will clear out and lead, and it'll be good tempo because he probably likes it the races ran at a solid tempo, so I've got him leading. Chamois Road beats him. Holbein will take a spot. Takedown will take a spot. Don't know if Rock and Gold can find a position. If they want to roll forward, I think it might be pegged three wide. And then you've got horses at the moment. The current favourite, Manolo Blahnik, will just be sitting a little bit further back with Bring Me Roses back on the inside. But there's enough speed for those horses to be able to get into the race because it will be run at a genuine clip, punters, that's for sure. At the moment, favourite is Manolo Blahnik at around $4.60. I could really only get him about $6.50 with me, so I expect him to drift. He was very good at Flemington, no doubting that, but I think this is a stronger race again. Misty Moneybags was off the map in that race. Backed into about $3.50 favourite. Didn't get a lot of luck. Jai McNeil goes on. Positive jockey change, you would suggest. He's around $7 in the market.
Wouldn't I like surprise. Him drawn out. He's a
yeah,
big boy.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Don't know if Caulfield's his track, but wouldn't be surprised to see the money come. But I'm going for the horses on the speed that I think are really solid, tough, strong horses, and that's the answer my friend and R beats him. In particular, R beats him. I think he's quite a big price at the moment. I expect him just about nearly
$6.
I expect him to probably just about start favourite, I think. His best is good enough. He'll go forward, hard to run down. We know Gay Waterhouse is extremely good when she brings her horses down to Melbourne. She has a fantastic record. And R beats him for me is the one that I think ticks all the boxes around Caulfield, and I think he can win. 3 wins from 9 at 1,400 metres. Pretty happy with that kind of form. So I'm going with R beats him.
Yeah, I agree. That number 3, R beats him. We'll ping the lids. He's got a beautiful gate 7, Stephen Bastard to ride. Look, he trialled really well running into his Magic Millions gallop, and he just got pegged late. He just found wanting. Trust Gay Waterhouse can bring them back to Victoria after a Magic Millions stint in early January. And he is going to be the horse to run down with the 58.5 kilos. The answer, my friend, just over-raced and was really fresh, first up down the straight at Flemington. He's had 5 starts for Zip, though, at Caulfield Brownie. But I'm expecting him to try and relax a little bit better and take a sit and follow R beats him. Takedown was outstanding. Darren Weir is training this horse now, and he was strong on speed at Flemington, and he can, if he gets any luck early, come across and try and follow the answer, my friend, and R beats him. If he can sit in the first 6 and be one off, Takedown will look the winner. I really like this horse. He's got the 57 kilos. You're shopping around the $13 early money, this is. Manolo Blahnik, going to be three to four pairs back on the inside running rail from Barrier 2 in great form. Caulfield figures are outstanding. I wouldn't talk you out of backing Manolo Blahnik at $4.60, and because just needs that little luck, that little break, and if he can get a nice suck run up in behind him, following the likes of number 11, Holbein, who was strong on speed, $8 chance, drawn 4, box seats, Patrick Maloney, these two can ping out. And, of course, Mr. Moneybags, he was the eye catcher. Yeah, there's a question mark about him at Caulfield, but I like him drawn out because he can be 3 deep with cover from the 1,800-600 railway side, that straight run. And if he can get his momentum up and rolling with this genuine speed, watch him powering late. And that is Mr. Moneybags. And I've got to mention, if you're playing for the multiples, I wouldn't talk you out of having something on Rock and Gold, who was humming straight up in behind them at Flemington, had no room whatsoever. His win prior was good. Once again, he's drawn awkward in 11, but he's at $14. But Takedown to be the massive surprise for me, number 4 in race 9 at Caulfield. And I'm expecting beats him to be hard to run down. And I'm going to have Holbein in there because he's so honest. So my numbers will be 4, 3 and 11 in race 9.
People wait up for this. People wait up. They wait all week for the tips of the day, the best of the day. I certainly know I do. When I call Jules on a Wednesday and I say, Jules, what is your best this weekend? And it is Caulfield. Julian, what is your best?
He looks forward to your call too.
Yeah, no, wait up for them. Look, it's a very tough day, punters. There's a lot of shorties. I will. I think the shorties are well placed, but I just think I'm just very extremely price sensitive when I do have a bet, punters, and they're just a little bit short for me at the moment, so they'd need to drift for me to get involved. But I'm pretty keen on a horse. I'm calling it my best, and it's definitely an each way price, and that's in race 8, and it's called Wenner. On the quick 7-day backup, 1800 back to 1700, no problem. That race last week behind Lure Me In Very, very hot race. They went 1 second inside standard time for Flemington and for that grade, and it stuck on really well. The blinkers come off. I think it'll go forward, and I think it's around $7.50, $8. I think it's a ripping each way bet in a small field. I think it'll go forward and be mighty hard to beat coming off a fast race time. I really like Winner. I think it can run really well.
Well, that is interesting because my best, and it is short, and I know you're the expert. You are without a doubt the expert. No, but sometimes when me and you go head to head, sometimes I win, sometimes I lose. This week, I'm going to go with Silence. Now, it is short. It's $2.20 into $1.95. I thought over the mile last time, it was put under pressure, and then I thought it kicked. So I reckon the extra 100 metres, no issue. But it is very, very short. Obviously, you have to put a fair amount on to get some money back at $1.95. But I see where you're coming from because the runoff winner was very good last week. So not discounting your expertise here because I am a former AFL footballer.
All right,
had to get it in, didn't he?
But I'm just a punter.
But in saying that, quickly, just with Silence for the punters out there, it is clear top pick in the race. There is no doubting that. But for me, I marked it around $2.60. So when I see a horse $1.95 or $2, I just can't justify being able to back it at that price. If it drifts out to $2.50, $2.60, it becomes a bet for me, absolutely, every day of the week. But at the current price, I see I'm going to be pushing it a little bit in the market in the chair tomorrow to try and just push it out a little bit to see what the market does. But absolutely agree, it's definitely the horse to beat.
Julian Valance trading tomorrow for the mighty team at Sportsbet. Nathan Brown's best bet. Race 8, number 5, Julesy's, is value in the same race, number 7. Might want to take the Quinella folks.
I will be taking now a little bit of a saver on Winner as well each way, along with my bet on Silence. Because right. The man to my left, Julian Valance, is the best in the business. I do all – when I go on TV or radio, I always talk about Julian Valance being the best in the business. Okay. So welcome back to Two and a Half Men.
Fair dinkum.
Here's your half man.
Fair dinkum.
Where are we going, SD? What are we like, mate?
Race 3, number 8, Groundbreak. He was in the one out, one back, and he bolted in after a five-week freshen. From Sydney to Caulfield here from Team Hawks, I really like this horse. He's got the iconoclasm form and the remember the name form, and from gate 5 I see him getting the best run in the race. So race 3, number 8, Groundbreak, is very well placed third up here. They get it right, the team, when they bring them down, Team Hawks, Dwayne Dunn to ride. The dangers in the race will be 13 Ocean Deep down the bottom, $6.50 into $5, and also number 5, if you're playing the multiples in Portman, I would have thought $12 into 10, but Groundbreak, Race 3, number 8.
Yeah, help to SD with the scratching of Casio, who was sort of in the market as well, was probably going to be a danger with the plus jock of Craig Williams. So, yeah, Groundbreaker, a very good chance.
Let's talk some value time now. I was at Woolworths last night just getting some stuff after dinner. Full family pack of Tim Tams on special for $1. You know, you can't walk past that sort of value and not buy the full pack of family value Tim Tams, which I did twice. Yeah. Two packets. I didn't go to the supermarket twice. I bought two packets.
Yeah, and I reckon you would have demolished one in the car before you got back home. Just got the one.
Certainly did. You know me well.
Do you buy top corner and a bottom corner off and then?
No, I just go straight into it. Normally I can fit a whole one in my mouth.
Do you normally do?
Yeah. Jules, value of the day.
Yes, no, Tim Tam. Race 6. Now, when I originally did the form on Wednesday, I had this horse as half chance, and then had to then go back and re-rate its last race because it actually did run on Sunday at Benalla, and I'm pretty happy with what it did at Benalla. I know it was just a maiden, but went 1 second inside standard, was 1 second quicker than the other 1,400 maiden on the same day. It is called Star Ruse. 52.5 kilos for the claim for Zach Spain under the minimum in a small field. Can roll forward. I reckon Star Ruse is a really good chance. I like the backup. Mick Price doesn't usually do that too often unless he thinks the horse is a definite winning chance. And I think this horse will start a lot shorter. I think it'll get into single figures. I think there'll be a bit of a market push for Star Ruse. So I think $13, $14 out there is too big. I think he'll start shorter and I think he'll run a mighty race each way.
Okay, race 2, number 7, Miss Vixen for me. She's a track and trip winner. She finished close to Sam's Image, Platinum Angel, Egyptian Bullet. She's got the class. She's a city class horse. I like her first up here with the 54 kilos and from Team Alderson, Sydney Alderson and Jai McNeil. She's also a winner first up. So, and she's shopping around the $10 mark in what is a very small field. Only the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 runners. No, they make that 6 runners.
Six.
Yeah, it's only six runners with the scratching and one scratching out of the race. So race two, number seven, Mix Vixen, could cause an upset there. Miss Norway Scratch from Mooney Valley to be running at that card.
My best value of the day is Kawaya. I thought you're pointing at something around the country next, Simon, but my best value is Kawaya. It was really good late at Doomben, obviously with the 60 kilos. Does love Caulfield. I just think it came up too big. $7 into $6. Kawaya, my best value of the day at Caulfield. Field. Now, let's head around the country, Jules. We got Sydney, we got Brisbane, we got Adelaide. What is your best around the country?
Well, we'll go to a place that you didn't mention. We'll go to Perth. We always start in Perth, mate.
Good spot, Perth. Really good
benches. Absolutely, it is.
Good for your tanning.
Yes, rumour going around that SD might be going there next week in some type of junket as we talk about
that
them.
That is a junket. Yeah, that's caused a bit of a stir.
Anyway, Perth, race six, number 11, Beat the Devil. Four wins from eight. It's a really consistent horse, and I think this race lacks a fair bit of depth, so I think he can win again. Race six, number 11, Beat the Devil.
Wow.
Glad you're here, SD.
What about you,
Not
Simon?
Not even listening.
Perth, fantastic, Julesy.
Was it eight-time Group 1 winning jockey?
Yeah. About
switch on.
Yes,
couple. Double M.
Couple.
Double it, mate.
Couple more, Brandy. Shall we go to – did you want to go to Randwick?
We'll go wherever you want, mate.
Let's go to Randwick, shall we?
Go.
Because there's a three-year-old colt resuming against the older horses. His name's Dealmaker. He's first up off a very good early spring. He really showed that he's got a bit of class. He was third first up in a Group 3 over 1,400, beaten 0.6 of a length to the smart Tarka, who went on to beat the Autumn Sun, who was very unlucky in that race. He's drawn six. He gets a perfect run. Huey Bowman to ride for Chris Waller. He trialled him with blinkers on. He had him humming up and he just screamed right up behind them. I reckon he's pretty forward to run a really good race, 420 to 460 though. Early markets for race eight, number 10 in a Dealmaker. And that trial had trapeze artist and the likes in it. So I just reckon he's going to get a beautiful run from that gate and he might surprise.
I like the combination you're going. I'm going to go the Waller-Bowman combination. Race four, number three, Tory Joy was very, very good in the lead last time. Just got beaten. Bowman gets up here. The mile will be no problem. It's a bit of a softer race. So I think Tory Joy, the best of the day at Randwick. Race four, number three, 260 into $2.40.
Very good. I'm going to go race three, number two, Sylvia's Mother. Three wins from four goes. Its Hawkesbury win off a moderate tempo was very, very good. Last 400, last 200, best of the day by far, 22.5, 11.5. That's very good going. And again at Canterbury off a very soft tempo, came home 22.5 and 11.4. So it's a horse that has got a very good turn of foot. It's never ran in fast run races, so that could be the slight sort of little knock on it, but I don't think it's a small field here. I think if it's a soft run race again, I think it'll be winning race three, number two, Sylvia's Mother.
Let's head up to the sunny state of the Sunshine Coast, Simon Marshall.
Sunny state. Fantastic coconut all round for you, Brownie. Race five, number four, Invigorating's a three-year-old filly. She's had two runs for two wins. She gets back. And when she got back at Ipswich, and I love the way she hunted, and then she won at Doomben, went through her grades really well over the 1,100 and the 1,200, and she's had a nice break. She's drawn one. She was smothered up in a trial at Deegan, 54, Mark Duplessis.
Not even close.
Not even.
No, you'd be closer than me.
I reckon.
Close to South Africa, doesn't he?
$4.50 out to $6, you're going to get a price.
Duplessis.
Race five, number four, Sunshine Coast, Julesy.
Race seven, number eight, Dream Master for me, SD. Jeff Lloyd, Toby Edmonds, this year, racing year, 14 wins from 48 goes. They go at around 30%. It's a great combination. So punters, you can always follow those two when they join up. It's a consistent horse. I think it'll run really well. Race seven, number eight, Dream Master.
I'm a bit of a weather nut. I like to buy the Australian newspaper because they have the best weather section. They have a 7-day outlook and then they just have all the major cities and you can see where it is around the country. Morfordville would have been very hot yesterday.
Ooh, yeah.
It was 46 in Adelaide yesterday. That is steaming hot. 46. I don't even think you'd get out there in suntan.
No, I would.
My mistake. But let's head over to the beautiful state of Churches and Morfordville. Won't be as hot as 46. I think they're expecting 31 there tomorrow.
What a build-up for Morfordville that is. And steaming hot. That's hot, yeah, Julesy.
It is. I suppose. I did see someone cooking an egg.
Yeah, on the carb on it.
It was an ad. It was a Hames Paint ad.
No, it's different.
Nah. The Aussie sun gets quite warm.
Trust British
How
pace.
Warm? Race three, number four, Morpheville.
Flowing through their veins, didn't they, the Hameses?
Yeah. Illumicon. He won first up last prep, remember, at Sandown Hillside when he led. He's drawn gate six here, drawn out in a small field. So he's out. Look, Stubby Holder will be able to dictate terms for whatever he wants to do. Tony McAvoy, small field, the 12.50, no problem. $2.40 you're shopping there. Race three, number four, Illumicon.
Race six, number three, Poets Landing. Two wins from two goes. I think it's a really nice progressive horse. I think he can win again.
$1.55, it probably should win.
Very good.
Okay, boys, what we're going to do now, because very, very important, there's public votes going on left, right and centre for the richest mile race in Victoria, if not the world. We'll just say the world.
Yeah, we'll just make it up.
And that's the All-Star Mile. And the All-Star Mile is going to be run after Super Saturday, and that's on the 16th of March. And I'll tell you what, the public vote's absolutely going off its head at the moment, Julesy, because it's open slather, to be honest, isn't it? And when we look at the All-Star Mile, is the Autumn Sun going to come? He's doubtful. He's in the market. Elise's $8. The Autumn Sun doubtful, also equal at $8. Grunt, his Flemington form has him at $10. Early markets, this is your sports bet markets for the All-Star Mile. Happy Clapper, $11 with Land of Plenty, who runs tonight. If you like Land of Plenty for the All-Star Mile and he wins tonight, he's going to shorten right up. So take the 11 if you like him. Mystic Journey won last night in Tassie and Smash the Clock broke 10.5, I think, for a last 200. Only one other horse has done that. That's Admiral. So she is low-flying Mystic Journey at $13, Extra Brute 15. Hartnell's at 15, also with Tiakau Shark. I read a tweet this morning, retweeted. He's out for the autumn, Tiakau Shark, so don't be betting on him. Amphitrite's at $17. D'Argento also 17 with Ring-a-Ding-Ding. Johannes Vermeer at $21 out. Julesy, it's a cracking race. It's a great initiative. Public vote's going off its head. Urban Ruler's in front at the moment. Come on, man. He's got 80 people in the syndicate. No wonder he's in front. What are your thoughts?
Oh, it's a beast of a race, SD, and well done to RV. I think they're probably generated some fantastic publicity already with the public vote. The fact that, you know, a horse like Urban Ruler that's probably rated around 72 tops the votes, I think that's, you know, we live in a democracy and that's great. So, look, there's so many moving parts to this race. The people's vote's one part, but it's also figuring out, does this horse want to go into this race off the prep? What kind of prep do they want? Are they targeting this race or is it going to be an afterthought? You spoke about it, where it sits in the calendar. So it's 2 weeks after the Australian Guineas. It's 1 week after the Randwick Guineas. We know that's where the Autumn Sun's most likely to go. Would they want to back up 1 week, then after that come down to Melbourne to run? Unlikely.
These are the things that general punters don't think about. This is why we have this man.
But also he's a stallion too, Brownie. It's not a Group 1 race.
He's a very, very good stallion.
He is. Yeah. So it's not a Group 1 race. So and they've got to build his black type.
100%. And that's probably for all the three-year-olds that if it doesn't add to their value, they're unlikely. Now, the little difference to that is if you come out and win the Australian Guineas, you can probably 2 weeks go into it because you've already won it. You've won the Group 1. But if you haven't won a Group 1, you probably want to keep going. You'd go up to Sydney to try and knock it off. Another interesting point is the Australia Cup's a week before as well. That's 2,000 metres. But we have seen in the past, 2,000 metres back to 1,600 metres is a very good recipe. Chris Waller's done it in the past in the Doncaster. We saw it last year in the spring with Best of Days from Godolphin coming back from 2,000 metres back to the 1,600 metres to win the Kennedy Mile. So that's not a formula that can work. It's also the same day as the Coolmore Classic up in Sydney. So you've got mares. Would they want to actually chase the Group 1 instead of coming down for the All-Star Mile, in particular Elise? What do they do with that? So, look, these are all the moving parts the punters have to think about, and then that's why you get these sort of prices that, you know, it's $7 to $1, $8 the field. Very, very tricky. We do know, Darren Weir has said, this is probably the one horse that we do know is targeting the All-Star Mile, is Land of Plenty. He has said this is its target. That's the race we're going after. So if you can get voted in, it's probably the one that's going to shorten up, because these other ones, we just don't know where they're going to end up being, whereas we know Land of Plenty is going to go there. That's the grand final, they've said. But look, very fast. It's just a sensational race. We'll know more as we go on, as we get closer to these horses and where they end up. But also worth noting, three-year-olds in the autumn, we've seen it from the Doncaster, have a sensational record against the older horses. So don't be surprised to see maybe horses come for the Australian Guineas. It's 2 weeks. It's a perfect lead-in to be very mighty, mighty competitive in an All-Star Mile come 16th of March.
It's underweight for age conditions. Get your votes in if you haven't, or have they closed? Just jump on your Sportsbet app, go to Futures and look at the All-Star Mile.
Well, it has been a brilliant edition of Three Wide No Cover with myself, Nathan Brown, Julian Valance and Simon Marshall. I will leave you with something because I've been reading a fair bit lately. I will leave you with just a little quote that you think about. Everybody likes to innovate. Everybody likes to be ahead of the curve. If you stay stagnant in this game, you'll fall behind. Now, the great Henry Ford, Jules, he said, if I'd have given the people what they wanted, I would have given them faster horses. He went on to invent the car. Have a great day.
Really?
That is just brilliant.
Is that it?
That's it, mate.
Okay.
We'll cut that. But I think he was a Nazi.
I don't think we'll include this at the back of the podcast, shall we? Hey, Nathan, thanks.
Get more responsibility.
Thanks for filling in. That was good, boys.